Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's going on, everyone? Jenna Cameron, Jen Rich. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you on this Wednesday morning following a historic night at the Wells Fargo Center. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it has happened. Ben Simmons has made a three, and there is nowhere to go but up from here. Why? Because then he can make a second and a third and a fourth and a fifth and hundreds and thousands. We'll talk about it. Look, we'll get into the Phillies, obviously, as the waiting game remains about the Phillies and the non-moves with the manager. Of course, the Eagles with a big game, really big game against the Vikings coming up in a couple of days. I mean, 4-2 and 3-3 feels like a very different thing. It would be an impressive win if they get it. So we'll get into that. And of course, the Flyers with the home opener tonight. Baseball playoffs as well. Some game fives on tap tonight. So a lot to get to today. We'll do so with you on the phone lines at 888-729-9494. Hop aboard those phone lines. If you were in the Wells Fargo Center last night, we'd love to hear from you the reaction of the crowd when Ben Simmons made that shot. Richie Rich!
Joe.
What's up, pal?
Do you know the first jack-o'-lantern? Because we're getting, you know, Halloween-y.
Yeah, it's there.
You know, this time of year.
Sure.
First jack-o'-lanterns were made from turnips.
Wow.
That's not a very cool jack-o'-lantern.
Yeah, it's pretty bizarre.
Turnips are small.
Okay.
Aren't they?
I would think so, yes.
That's a tiny jack-o'-lantern. I think it sort of fails in its, you know, spooky effect.
So the alteration was made.
Yeah, yeah, somewhere along the way.
All right.
They upgraded.
It's like Ben.
They upsized.
It's like Ben Simmons' jump shot.
Well, shall see.
How about that? All right, so if you were there last night, we'd love to hear from you, because obviously it was a funny scene. And, you know, just seeing Embiid egging him on, you know, take the shot, and then everyone, of course, you know, with the reaction. So, you know, it's you know, a little tongue-in-cheek here. It's not the biggest deal, but it does matter. You needed to see him shoot. It's something that could really help the Sixers win big, and it's obviously what we hope is the start of something big. We'll see. I'm sure it's going to still be in work in progress, but if you're there last night and saw that, we'd love to, you know, hear your reaction at 888-729-9494. All right, John, Eagles and Minnesota, big game coming up on Sunday. And, you know, good spot for us here as they embark on a six-game stretch. It's going to be tough. I mean, if I had to say out of the gate, I'd probably say 3-3 over these next six. We'll see. It's a tough stretch. Our poll yesterday, most people were thinking 4-2. We'll see where it goes. But it is a brutal stretch. One of the hardest they've had in a number of years. And as we sit here today, I mean, as we examine the now 3-2 Eagles, two impressive wins in a row, a season, though, that's been up and down, there's certainly been some player disappointment. There's been injuries again. As we sit here today, what kind of hits you, you know, midweek conversation about the Eagles at this stage?
I am bullish on the next, you know, six games. This stretch is going to be rough. We know that. I think I'm a lot more bullish on this team than you are in terms of I think they'll go, you know, 4-6, and we should feel really good about that.
Four in the next six.
They'll win four of the next six games and prove to everyone that they really are a legit contender in the NFC. I'm not saying they're all world yet.
Yep.
I need to see a lot of improvement, but I think the pieces are sort of coming together, and we're gonna need help. Every morning I'm looking around seeing if anything's going down anywhere else where teams might be looking to unload guys.
Sure.
I have been.
And the clock's ticking on that, by the way.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's coming
up.
We
need help. We need a lot of help if we're going to be really that good. This team, as it stands, is not good enough. But I just sort of expect that Howie's going to go and do stuff. He's going to, you know, wheel and deal and make things happen. And then on my darker days, I stop myself and I think, what if Howie's not everything that we crack him up to be? You know, what if Howie is a guy who got lightning in a bottle and really nailed it in 2017 and is sort of resting on those laurels right now. And in all of our eyes, can't do wrong. And we're always going to give him the benefit of the doubt because he brought a Super Bowl here. And what if 2017 was the outlier? You know, with the whole, and there are some real obvious ones this year where, you know, the Jadeveon Clowney for the getting deal was there, and we could have gone and just, you know, traded very little to get a legit pass rusher who you know, would have made us better, and we balked on that. The Jalen Ramsey thing, you know, who knows whether that's ever going to happen at this point, but Howie did not pull the trigger on that. You dig in a little bit deeper, and that, you know, I was annoyed. I was annoyed with those lacks of initiative and, you know, movement.
Well, and a lot
on
of people were, by the way, too.
We could have been made better. Howie didn't make us better there. And then you dig in a little deeper, and you're like, man, you know what? Why does it feel like every year we try to go get a speedster and it fails? Like Mike Wallace last year, like Torrey Smith the year before, like this year DeSean Jackson. We've had him for one game. Maybe Howie should have thought about the fact that he's, you know, getting up there and that he always misses games. And here we sit with a lack of a major component to our offense once again, and maybe that's not Deshaun's fault. Maybe that's Howie's.
Howie
needed something better behind Deshaun, or maybe Howie needed someone different than Deshaun. I'm not judging here. I'm just saying things I think about on a day like today. What about you dig in? I just saw on Twitter someone listed the running backs from drafts. The 2017 draft.
Yep.
It's disgusting. It is disgusting when you think that's the draft that we got Donnell Pumphrey, because the 2017 draft class, Leonard, just listen to these names that Howie missed on. And this is a little micro, but anyway, Leonard Fournette, Christian McCaffrey.
Well, hold on. He didn't have a pick in the first two. Those guys went before
what do you
the
mean
Eagles
he didn't
selected.
Have a pick in the first two.
Well, you just said Leonard Fournette and Christian McCaffrey.
I'm just telling you the other backs who went that year.
Well, okay, but
stop reading. Stop interrupting.
Well, you're ripping Howie here. You had a pick behind those picks. You can't. I mean, yeah, the Eagles didn't draft Peyton Manning in 1998. Sorry.
This is the year that we got
Derek Barnett. I'm with you. Go ahead.
What was he? 13?
Something like that. 16,
okay, so
15,
you want me to
whatever.
Just read the names after Derek Barnett?
I actually would prefer that.
Okay,
yes.
Dalvin Cook, okay. Joe Mixon, Alvin Kamara, Kareem Hunt, James Conner, Tariq Cohen, Marlon Mack, Aaron Jones, Chris Carson, Austin Eckler, Brandon Breida.
That's a lot.
Matt Breida.
I'm sorry, Matt Breida.
That sounds like half the starting running backs in pro football.
It's a real list right there.
It's crazy when you look at that list, and it's just like, wait, hold on. And now he doesn't have Joe Douglas anymore.
Right.
And I'm a big believer in Joe Douglas. So Howie not always getting it done with Joe assisting on the football side of things. And now we just expect him to keep rolling and functioning at a high level without Joe. I worry that we give him too much cachet and that he's not doing the job we need him to do. What about the fact that he went and just, we signed a bunch of old guys this year. Okay. The Nelson Agholor contract, I hate it, by the way.
Yep,
like, why is he here for $9.43 million? He's not even an old guy. But Brandon Graham, that does not look like a wise contract at this point.
It was an overpay.
How about Jason Peters?
An overpay.
Very unwise contract at this point. How about Darren Sproles? Are you serious?
Yeah, it's not good.
Okay, how about DeSean Jackson? What are we going to really get out of DeSean Jackson? Are these guys getting signed because they're Eagles and everyone loves them? Because Howie's not supposed to be judging guys based on that.
Listen, the idea of Howie not being all that that he was 2 years ago, and then certainly that we've kind of pedestaled, because we've pedestaled him. I mean, I'll say.
We absolutely do. I'm not saying, I think this team, let's preface this. I think this team is going to go on a tear right now and make everyone realize how good they really are against some great competition. But we're not as good as we could be.
Here's the thing.
We're not as good as we should be. And I think Howie is responsible to some degree. We need to own up to that.
Well, I'll tell you this. And again, 888-729-9494 to weigh into the conversation. I've said before, you know, sometime over the last, whatever, it's been 6 to 9 months, that I've got more confidence in Howie as an executive, as a general manager in Philadelphia sports, not just the Eagles, Philadelphia sports, than I've had in any general manager or executive in my lifetime. I believe that. I'm 41 years old. I've seen a lot. I've seen the really, really good ones. Pat Gillick was really exceptional. There's no question. We've seen a lot of really bad ones. To me, Howie's the best I've seen. Not 1.0 Howie, 2.0 Howie. I do think he learned. I do think he matured. And I think he's been a lot better. And, John, to the doubt, I guess, that you're presenting, I mean, yes, the idea of 2017, and it was spectacular, and it was almost like he batted 1,000 that year. I mean, it was just ridiculous. I don't expect that level of success maybe ever again, that you have that high a batting average, because it seemed like, other than Donnell Pumphrey, it seemed like just about everything else, from Chris Long as a backup to Patrick Robinson as a backup who became a starter through Ronald Darby's injury, to go on down the line to the next guy, to the next. I mean, it just seemed like his batting average was like 950, all right? It was ridiculous. I don't expect that. I don't.
Well, you know what? We should expect something close to that. Because there is a guy who hits on whatever you'd say, 90%.
Belichick?
Yeah.
Well, I mean.
And that's why the Patriots have been the best in the NFL for the last 2 decades.
I understand, but now.
But Joe, that's what we have our hopes set on, right?
Well, true.
Like we feel like we've got the keystone piece in Carson that we can now build around and make this a dynasty. Do we have the guy who's calling the shots who can actually actualize that?
Look, it's an interesting question. I think the Patriots standard is so high up there. I mean, it's almost like saying, why isn't this guy the Sixers drafted Michael Jordan? Well, it's like, well, because he's not Michael Jordan. I mean, if the question is, why is Howie Roseman not Bill Belichick? Because he's not Bill Belichick. Because no one else has been Belichick. Look, as an Eagles fan, I am very happy with where they sit as a franchise. I really am. I mean, I have my doubts, and I've been clear about that. I've been very clear about that.
We have a great owner.
They have a great owner. I think they have a tremendous executive in Howie. They've got a franchise quarterback.
And I'm not saying I think Howie's I think Howie's great too.
But you're expressing some doubt.
I think we give him too much credit.
Well,
and right now he's not doing some things that need to be done, and we should be a better team than we are.
I guess one thing I'd say, and again, 888-729-9494 is, and this is an intangible. That we can't, this isn't a talent thing, and we can't point to it on the field and say, well, this guy ran fast because of that. But it does feel that since Howie retook power, that there's been a culture built. And that I know a lot of people say, go get you Jadeveon Clowney, but there's a reason he got traded for less than people expected. I mean, he's not considered like the greatest locker room guy. Part of what I believe helped the Eagles dig last year when they were in trouble, and by the way, they were in a lot of trouble, and by the way, the injuries had a huge hand in creating that trouble, because I'd never seen an Eagles season even come close to that level of injury. And by the way, this one's gotten off to a pretty bad start as well. Lose two defensive tackle in the first two games. Loses his wide receiver. I mean, I know other teams get injuries, but the Eagles seem to have their fair share, more than their fair share. It does feel like with the hiring of Doug Peterson, the installation of Doug running the locker room, and just the kind of guys they bring in, they seem to have a dig-down quality. And I credit Howie for that. I mean, I get it. Like, John, I do get it. The Sproles thing is aggravating. The Peters thing is aggravating. Nelson Agholor's salary is an aggravation. Because on one hand, I do hear you, I feel you, that it seems like the Eagles could have had some better talent on the field this year. If they had allocated in a salary cap world some money differently, I get it. I really do. I mean, sure. But at the same time, man, it's not easy. I mean, when the entire NFL is operating on the same rules, where there's a set amount of money you can spend, and you're going to be making some mistakes. I mean, mistakes get made all over the place. Every team makes mistakes. To me, Howie's way above the curve in the NFL, way above the curve. Look, we'll take your reaction, 888-729-9494. I mean, I hear, John, that maybe we've pedestaled Howie too much.
Way above the curve, yeah.
He really is, man.
Okay.
Way above the curve.
I'm saying,
and no apologies if he's not Bill Belichick.
I'm saying, like, everyone loves Howie. I'm not saying I disagree. I believe that he's done an amazing. He's awesome. But we're giving him a pass on some of this stuff that we are totally failing on right now, as a team that needed to be, addressed. Yeah. that we're glossing over. And right now we're paying for some of his mistakes, and we need to recognize that he needs to do better.
All right, look, 888-729-9494. I do think it's a fact. Look, we can never erase the Super Bowl. We never want to. Had the Eagles not won the Super Bowl, some of these moves by Howie would come under greater scrutiny. Huh. There's no question about
it. Are you kidding me?
There's no question about that. Jared Cameron, John Ritchie, 888-729-9494.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.